Tonight we're going to talk about stewardship. And I'll preface this by saying a lot of times we talk about stewardship, you know, that's how a church says, you know, you ought to give. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But to understand that stewardship is everything that we have. So we ought to be good stewards of our, you know, our vehicles, our homes, our land, our finances, our family, you know, our church. You know, we are the stewards. Think about, there were people who came before us 50 some years ago and found this place and built this. And those who have maintained it and advanced it to the where it is today. And you know, church is doing great. I mean, you can't tell on Wednesday night, but church is doing great. And we'll do better. You know, we'll continue to grow and continue to increase and continue to reach people and continue to broaden our ministry. But we're stewards of that. This is our time. When we stand before God, He's washed our sins away. He's forgiven us of our sins. So when I stand before God, I won't answer for sin. There are none. They're washed in the blood. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you don't have to answer for every lie you ever told or every time you hated somebody or whatever? You know, sometimes we've, in our heart, we've committed sin, even though we didn't do it outwardly, and we don't have to answer for that. Why? Because it's washed in the blood. I'm forgiven. But as a child of God, forgiven by His grace through His blood, I'm going to stand before Him and be judged as a steward. What did He give us? And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And we go over to Luke chapter 12. And you don't have to turn if you don't want to, but I don't mark my Bible. So if you turn, you'll probably get there about the same time I do. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. "And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And the servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." And not to explain too much, but in the beginning of that verse, in verse 48, he says, if he didn't know any better, the punishment won't be as bad. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. "There was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused to him that he had wasted his goods. He called him and said to him, how is it I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." So, and we turn to Galatians 5, but notice what he says there. He says, "I will take away the responsibility I've given you if you're not measuring up, if you're taking for granted what it is I've entrusted you with." Finally, we got one more after this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. 1 Timothy. This will be our last text. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Okay, what does that make him? A steward. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. We have been entrusted as stewards. We said, all the things in our lives, all the belongings, you know, you drive down the truck and it starts making a noise and you look up to heaven and say, Lord, it's your truck. Something wrong with your truck. Something goes wrong, the water heater's not working, and you say, Lord, your water heater's broken. Is that what we do? It's his. Haven't we given it to him? And you know, whenever something goes wrong in our homes, we say, Lord, it's yours. It's all yours. And when we get our paycheck, it's yours. It's all yours. We need to remember that. We're stewards of that. He has entrusted it to us. And so we think a lot of times about the material things, but that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. We already did, but we're not going to talk about it anymore. But we're going to talk about the other things he's entrusted to us. Paul says he has entrusted the gospel to us. When someone gets baptized, we give them a Bible, and in the front of that Bible, we write something to the effect of, read God's word every day, live by it, and share it. We're stewards. We're supposed to have command over it. We're supposed to read it so that we understand it, so that we can discuss it intelligently, so that we understand it. I had yesterday or day before, a young lady called me, and I had a Bible question. Her dad's a preacher. Her grandfather's a pastor. And I don't know why she wouldn't ask them, or maybe she had and wasn't satisfied with the answer. But God has entrusted us to be able to answer those questions. Now, here's the thing I know. I know that when I give a Bible answer, what the Bible says, that somebody may go take it to their father preacher or grandfather pastor and say, you know what Brother Derek said? And so I have to be able to have command of the scripture and intelligently answer it. Someone asked me a question about the Bible, and if I don't have, if my answer doesn't sit right with me, I go back and dig. And I have to understand it. I have to read up on it. I want to make sure that my answer is not flippantly incorrect. I know people want, you know, again, that we should have command of, we should know the answer. And I'm probably 20 years ago, I'd have been able to answer that question. Sometimes now I have to go back and look. We used to talk about one of the pastors, one of the teachers at the college, and we would say, he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. And I'm beginning to understand that a little bit better. But we've been entrusted with the gospel to receive it ourselves. The first thing to do is to know that I am a sinner and that Jesus died on the cross for me. That God so loved me that he sent his only begotten son to die for me, that when I put my faith in him, my trust in him, for the forgiveness of sins, he would wash my sins away if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God has raised him from the dead. And then once I receive the gospel, then I need to share the gospel. I need to tell other people how to get to heaven too. He's entrusted us with the gospel. He's entrusted us with ministry, with this church. You know, we come in here and we have a monthly business meeting where we discuss things about the church. Why? Because we're the stewards of it. It's our responsibility to take care of it, to take care of the property, to take care of the reputation, to advance the ministry, to grow the ministry accordingly. Now look, God didn't bring us here to build a church. He said He would build a church. We're here to reach the lost. We're here to reach souls that are hungry for God. That's why we're here. And a lot of times the thing about it, they don't know they're hungry for God. They just know they're hungry. Y'all ever go to the refrigerator and open up, see what's in there? You don't know what you want. You just know you want something. And the problem is there are people out in the world who know they want something and they don't know what it is. And so they're looking in the bottom of a bottle or in the bottle of a pill or something they smoke or some other person's company or entertainment, which has just captivated people and drawn them away from God. Activities. They're hungry for something. They don't know what it is. And so we have to show up and give them Jesus. That's our job. We've been entrusted with it. We're stewards of the church and the gospel and the ministry. But more than that, we're stewards of hope. We're stewards of hope. I was driving today and they were on the radio talking about a book and it's the name of the book is Hell is Real. Well, that's not very encouraging, is it? By the way, hell is real. But you know what the world needs? They need to know heaven is real. They need to know Jesus is real. They need to know hope is real. I'm not dreaming of a place called heaven. I'm longing for a place called heaven because I know it's there. And I'm looking forward to going there. And I've got friends there. I was speaking earlier about Lorna and her little baby. A little tiny baby is there. And I don't know if that baby's grown up now. I don't know how that works. But I know that when she gets there, she'll get to meet that baby. And others who have been in similar circumstances. But we should have an optimistic vision. Brother Rudy was here a couple weeks ago talking about how he goes to these churches. He hears lots of excuses why churches aren't growing. Churches ought to be growing. People ought to be getting saved. People ought to be getting baptized. But you know why people get saved and baptized? Because the church does what we're supposed to do. As stewards with the gospel, as stewards of the ministry, we've got to take the hope outside of this building to the world. The people who are around us, that work with us, that talk to us, our family, they ought to see someone who's hopeful, not someone who's miserable, not someone who's pessimistic. We've got to be hopeful people. We're stewards of hope. Abraham hoped against hope, didn't he? We're stewards of love. We ought to love people. We ought to love everybody. We ought to love the unlovable. How many of you have ever loved somebody who is unlovable? How many of you have ever been loved when you were unlovable? Right? We got to love people even when they're unlovable. Because that's what Jesus did. The Lord paints a picture in the book of Ezekiel about finding a baby who was born and cast out into the field just to die. And how He found that baby and He rescued that baby while it was still covered in its birth. And He washed it and He applied everything that He should to the skin and He wrapped it up and made it healthy and let it grow and gave it comfort and shelter and love until that baby then was a beautiful woman. And then He put a gold chain on her neck and a beautiful dress and a coat. Now that picture He's describing is Israel. When Israel was nothing and He's telling that story. But what He's saying is, when I found you, nobody wanted you. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in the world that feel that way today. And if we would come along with a little bit of hope and a little bit of love and a whole lot of Jesus, their lives could change. But we've got to have compassion for everybody. We've got to show love to everybody. We're stewards of that. Let's go back to what He said. He said, I've entrusted you with this, but I'm hearing some rumors that you're not using it the way you should. And if I investigate and find out that you're not being the steward that you should be, I'm going to take away what I've entrusted to you. Think about that. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to a church and He says, I will remove the candlestick. That means He will take the light out of the church. That means he will take away the anointing on that church. And so that church won't be anything more than a social club with a church sign out front. We're not supposed to be a social club with a church sign. We're supposed to be a church. And so we've got to show love. We've got to be good stewards of what God has given us. Stewards of forgiveness. And I know we've all met people that are hard to forgive. But we're stewards of forgiveness. He gave it to us to use, to share. We've got to forgive others. We talked about it the other day, and somebody called and said, "You really mean what you said about that? You really believe that's what the Bible says? If I didn't, I wouldn't have said it." Look, that doesn't mean we have to lock arms and go shoe shopping together. But we got to not hold a grudge and go after people and get revenge. Try to hurt them and try to get back at them. We've got to show grace, show mercy, and by the way, not magnify their faults. Sometimes we're mad at somebody and every little thing they do annoys us. Everything they do annoys us because we're mad at them, because we don't like them anymore. And so anything they do, we're going to find fault with it. You know what that is? That's a lack of grace. That's bad stewardship. God has made us stewards of His grace and forgiveness, and so we've got to show grace and mercy, and we've got to forgive people, we've got to love people, even when they're unlovable. He's made us stewards of joy. You wouldn't know it by seeing us sing sometimes. I didn't say by hearing us sing, I said by seeing us sing. There's a difference. Amazing grace, right? Sing real good, but face just can't quite catch up. God has given us joy. Jesus said, "My joy I leave with you." The joy of Jesus. We think about Jesus, we read about Jesus, and we see all these things, but I want you to know about my Jesus. When I see him walking with those apostles, I hear him laughing. I see him smiling, getting along and chuckling as they go. I see that in my Lord. I see that in the church as Jesus was the pastor of those apostles. I see that. We ought to be the same way. We ought to have joy in our hearts. We got to have enthusiasm. And you know what? That begins with being grateful. Having gratitude. Guys, there's so much that we don't have, but there's so much that we do have, and there's a whole lot that we have that others don't. Aren't we blessed? We're so blessed. We've got to be grateful. We've got to have enthusiasm. We ought to be praising God. Joy. We sing that song, Joy Unspeakable. Right? And when we sing it, we don't smile. Joy Unspeakable. When we're singing it, it ought to just really grip our hearts. About to think about our salvation and to think about our walk with God and how much the Father loves us and how much the Savior has given for us. And how the Spirit goes with us everywhere we go, even making groanings of intercession for those things we don't know we need. We don't know how to pray sometimes, and the Spirit prays for us. Joy, we're stewards of joy, gratitude, enthusiasm. And by the way, we ought to enjoy each other. We ought to have friends. We ought to love our friends. That's joy. People ought to know us to be happy people, joyful people. We're stewards of peace. As I prayed with that family yesterday, the prognosis wasn't good. But there was a woman who was, as it turns out, just a couple of hours from seeing Jesus. There she was and her husband there by her side. And you know what? He had a peace. He didn't want to let his wife go. We don't want to do that. But he had a peace. Why? Because he trusted God. He trusts God. He knew what was going to happen when she opened her eyes again and saw the Savior and saw heaven and saw those loved ones. He trusts God. You know, when we talked about gratitude, and now as we talk about peace, once we start trusting God, even the bad things in our life, we're like, well, I trust God. Why? Because we know God works all things together for good. All things. For those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We know that. So, bad things happen. You know, there are things in our lives, there are some concerns I've got. I'll just say concerns, not worries, because I trust God. My life's not easy. There's some struggles. And so in those struggles, what do? I trust God. Somebody say, what are you going to do? Just keep trying. That's all I can do. Just keep trying. It's not perfect. I'm just going to keep trying. I have peace because I trust God. Why? Because I'm a steward of peace. I cannot afford to lose my mind. I can't afford to go crazy. I don't like those jackets they put on you anyway. Don't fit right. Right, but I can't afford to lose my cool. I can't afford to lose my patience. I can't afford to give up. I'm a steward of peace. I'm a steward of peace. And so I've got to trust God even in the impossible situations of life. I've got to celebrate others. Why? Because I'm a steward of fellowship. I was, thinking about something the other day, talking about something. And the bottom line is some people just don't have any consideration for others. They don't think about anybody but themselves. But see, I'm a steward of fellowship. And so I've got to think about other people. I've got to think about my friends. I've got to think about how what I said might have offended them. I've got to think about how what I do, how it affects them. Because they're my friends. They're in my circle. By the way, I've got to keep myself right because I realize that a sin in my life could affect a lot of people. Could break hearts and disappoint people. So I've got to keep my heart right. I'm a steward of fellowship. I can't take my friends for granted, and I've got to be a good friend. And I hope I'm a good friend to you. And if I ever take you for granted, if I'm ever inconsiderate, just look at me and say, brother, you're being inconsiderate. I mean, how can I be mad about that if I am? I'm a steward of fellowship. And I'm a steward of time. Last point. Y'all remember that soap opera? I didn't watch it, but I remember the beginning of that soap opera. It said, like sand through an hourglass. So are the days of our lives, right? Right? But as I was studying this, I just envisioned that hourglass being turned. And that sand begins to pour out. Guys, that's what life is. James said, what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. See, I'm a steward of time. I'm not just a steward of years. Because a lot of times that's how we look back and we go, well, did I do better this year? No, I'm a steward of time. Time is seconds. Time is minutes. Time is hours. Time is day. And I've got to be a good steward. We can't afford to waste it. It'll be gone before you know it. And with all that's in the news and all the signs of the times, it could be gone already, right? We could wake up in heaven tomorrow, all of us together, just rise up in the rapture. That's how close we are. And I know we're excited about going to heaven. But you know, God's got something for us to do here. He wouldn't have us here. He's got responsibility. What? Stewardship. Of all these things that He's entrusted to us, and you know, it's like He put all those tools in a basket, and when we got saved, He handed them over and He said, now do your part. Now it's your turn to take part in what I'm doing. And He made us stewards. So how are we doing on that peace and that joy and that love and that hope and that fellowship? In that time. Here's what he said. He says, if you don't use what I've given you well, I'll take it away. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have any peace. Let me encourage you. Go to God and say, God, give me peace, and I'll be a good steward this time. I don't have any joy. Lord, give me joy, and I'll be a good steward this time. Give me love, and I'll be a good steward with it. Yes, Lord, I'll be a good steward with my family and with my home and with my, you know, finances and all the material stuff. But God, I want to be a good steward with the attributes of a Christian and the fruit of the Spirit. I want to be a good steward. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much, and we're thankful that you have counted us faithful, putting us in the ministry, and trusting us with the gospel and all these other things as we've spoken of. And we pray tonight, God, make the most of us. Use our lives. Use us even tonight. Use us each moment. Remind us that time is fleeting and that it's running out. That we must be about the Father's business. Dismiss us with your grace and bring us back again. In Jesus' name, amen.